This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
We live in a culture that's enraptured with finding the secret sauce, with finding the power, with finding the awesomeness to pull off something amazing. And like, there's all kinds of illustrations I could use. A couple that came to mind is, if you're in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or the Marvel Multiverse, you might be familiar if I say the name Thanos. He's the guy who basically a lot of the movies centered on, because they were trying to find these Infinity Stones that would give him the power to snap. And I'm not gonna blow it all for you, but that's basically the plot of like six movies. Because he's looking for the secret sauce. He's looking for the power. He's looking for the thing that's gonna unlock life to him. Or, if that's not your thing, maybe it's just a cool life hacker website that's telling you that if you combine household vinegar, baking soda, and a couple drops of lemon juice, that you can get your countertop really sparkling clean. We're all looking for those kind of hacks. We're looking for that kind of awesomeness. We're looking for that unpacking, that secret thing that's gonna make a difference in our lives. And so it's Easter, and we're here to celebrate Jesus Christ, our Lord, who did the most mic drop worthy thing ever, the most amazing thing. And so let me just read the account. I know I've hinted at part of that. We've sang about it, but let me just read the story from the Gospel of Luke of how that first Easter, that first resurrection morning happened. Here's what we read in Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?" And they remembered those words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But the words seemed like an idle tale and they didn't believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Something powerful had just happened. Something that would unlock everything had just happened. And so, yes, the Bible does clearly teach that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again according to the scriptures. And the Bible has always intimated that resurrection was coming. It's in the fabric of the scriptures throughout the Bible that God's not dead, he's alive, that nothing's gonna be able to trump him. There's a reason we can have hope. All those things were true in the Bible that was running through the Bible. There was hope beyond this life. Jesus even announced that when he was on earth. If you think that Jesus was just merely a great teacher, here's what this great teacher said, that he's the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. And everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this? This is what Jesus is asking us. He's telling us this is who he is. It's his very embodiment. So with this resurrection comes power. The resurrection brings power with it. And this resurrection power is impactful in our lives. So no longer do we just merely live, but our lives are characterized by the same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And so today we're gonna dig into this. How do we access that power? Like, you may wanna walk out of here today and say, how can I live like Jesus lived? How can this resurrection characterize my life? And so again, I'm so glad you're here. Thanks so much for being here. Two movements toward Jesus' resurrecting power. So we have kind of two movements. And so if you're just waking up, that means that there's only 2 points in this sermon. So thank the Lord, right? Only 2 points, two movements toward Jesus' resurrecting power. So let's read this, Philippians 3 verses 8 through 11. Here's what we read there. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness that depends, righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so in our church, a lot of times when I read the scripture, we have this little tradition where I say, this is God's word, and everybody says, thanks be to God. So this is God's word, thanks be to God. So two movements towards Jesus' resurrecting power. Two movements towards Jesus' resurrecting power. And the first movement is, give up on yourself. Give up on yourself. This is in verses 8 and 9. Now, I realize in saying give up on yourself that this opening statement pushes against everything that the world recommends that you need to do to change your life. Right? So I'm saying that the advice you need for your life is to give up on yourself. And you might think, well, that sounds a little different than what my therapist says to me. It sounds a little different than what I see on these websites. It sounds a little different than what Thanos was looking for in the multiverse. Right? To give up on yourself, are you serious? The word on the street is that the change comes when we work on ourselves. That's what's required. That I have to do something to change myself. And here, what I'm wanting to connect you to is the idea that the problem is where the power source is. What's the power source of your life? I don't want more self-esteem built in this room. We need more Jesus esteem. That's our problem. Self-esteem is getting in the way. And the passage we're looking at was written by someone who had every reason to have all kinds of self-esteem in the religious world. He had everything he could put confidence in. So if you read the opening verses of chapter 3, you'll see that, man, this guy ticked all the boxes. He had all the marks. He had all the religious credentials to boast in. You talk about someone being wicked awesome in the practice of religion. This is what Paul was like before he met Christ. I mean, he knew the Bible better than you or I do, or any of your favorite pastors. He knew the Bible. He had certain thoughts on it. He had a pedigree that he was born a certain time at a certain place to a certain tribe and could trace that back. He had all the awesomeness when it came to religion and the practice of it. In fact, he was so locked in to this practice that he put people who challenged him to death. I mean, just think about that. He was so zealous for what he believed. He knew he was right to such a degree that if you disagreed with him, he'd try to hunt you down and put you to death. I mean, that's zeal. It's some kind of zeal that would lead to that. But the resurrected Jesus came along into his life and disrupted everything, disrupted all that, disrupted everything he put confidence in, disrupted the way he went about killing people. All the accomplishments, all the ways of living that he had, that had characterized his life up to this point, changed the moment he met Jesus. And he got to a point where he counted all those things that he could boast in as loss or rubbish. So he counted all these accomplishments as loss for the sake of knowing Christ. So Jesus disrupted his life so much that he viewed the gains that he had in life as a loss. So look again at verse 8, and now that you hear that background, listen to what he's saying in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. So counting is an accounting term, like, obviously. So we all know the count from Sesame Street, right? One, ha, 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 you know. It's counting is an accounting term. He's reckoning, he's ledgering up the accounts, and he's saying, actually, this is all a loss now. All this stuff that I could put confidence in, all the stuff that made me who I am and allowed me to beat my chest and say, you're not gonna mess with me in my world. This is what you're gonna get if you mess with me. All that stuff was rubbish. It came to a point where it was lost compared to Christ. So when he tallied up all that life would amount to going that way, the things that drew him away from Jesus were put away because they had lesser value. They didn't line up in the ledger sheet. And he also, the scriptures say, he counted them as rubbish. Now, obviously, they can't put cuss words in the Bible, right? Everybody understand that? This word rubbish is maybe the closest thing we have to that. Let me see if I can describe it on this lovely Easter morning as we're all dressed in pastels. It points to sewage or detestable things that you might find in a bedpan. Like, we ought to read the word rubbish and think, yuck, I don't want any part of that. That's how Paul viewed all of his life, all that he could put confidence in, all the things that he could, Bible reading, memory, religious pedigree, church attendance, practice, having the right upbringing, he counted all that as rubbish. Yuck. I don't want anything to do with this. That's how much Jesus changed his life. All these wicked, awesome accomplishments in his life from a fleshly perspective were considered garbage. In the first century world, you didn't have like nice services that came by and gathered your recycling on one day and then gathered trash on another. No, you just took the junk and threw it out the window. And that's why you had to wash your feet. That's a whole nother thing. But for Paul, this sacrifice, like we would look at that and say, what a sacrifice. Man, he gave up so much. And Paul's saying, no, it's not a sacrifice. This is gaining Christ. He says, I'm giving up on myself. I'm giving up on all my accomplishments. I'm giving up on all the accolades. I'm giving up on all my awesomeness because it's all a loss compared to knowing Christ, compared to gaining Christ. And that's who I'm found in now. And now this record of awesomeness, that's his righteousness, this record of awesomeness I have, it isn't based on doing the right or the wrong things or posturing myself as better than other people, but my righteousness, my record of awesomeness comes through believing in Jesus. It's a standing from God that depends on faith. That because I've trusted in him, everything in my life has changed. My life's been turned upside down. No longer is it about making more money than the next guy or succeeding in this life. Or you mess with me, you're gonna get the horns kind of thing. That's not what it was like for Paul anymore. Jesus had changed him. He had gained Christ. And Easter draws us into the same dilemma. Easter comes in like a wrecking ball, that if Jesus has done all that we celebrate today, we can't go through life, business as usual, building our own awesomeness. We can't go through life saying, well, you know, I'm pretty impressive, like, I've been attending church for 50 years. Well, so what? Like, great, good for you. What has that changed in your life? I mean, it's nothing compared to Christ, right? We can deny this reality about Jesus. We can explain this reality about Jesus away. We can refuse to believe in who he is and what he came to do. But when we do that, we're choosing to create another religion. And we're saying, I'm gonna follow this with all my heart and life. And I'm saying today, the way to obtain resurrection power begins by giving up on yourself. By just giving up on yourself and saying, this can't be what I build my life on. It has to be something else. So what's keeping you from giving up on yourself? What's keeping you from giving up on your awesomeness? Are you really gonna choose something that can't deliver? I mean, nothing that we can choose to build our lives on can deliver the way that Jesus' death and resurrection can. That's why we're here worshiping today, because we know instinctively there's something unique about what he did. So moving towards resurrection power begins by looking away from ourselves and giving up on ourselves. But that's not all that we learn in this passage. Because with all this faith talk, that's the issue, right? That this comes through faith in Christ. It's a righteousness or an awesomeness from God that depends on faith. With all this faith talk, we're invited, secondly and finally, to trust that Jesus will raise you. Trust that Jesus will raise you. So if you want to step into resurrection power, you give up on yourself and then you trust that Jesus will raise you. So regarding Jesus, Paul's not inviting us to a way of doing things, but a person worth knowing. And there's a difference in that, right? There's all kinds of people that are telling you, this is the way you do this thing. So do this thing. And Paul's saying, no, it's not so much about doing those things anymore. It's about a person that you know. It's about a relationship. So Paul had given up on himself so that he might gain Christ, so that he might gain a relationship. Now he's going to be walking with God and walking with Christ. This relationship means knowing him and knowing his power. That's how Paul describes it, right? Look at verse 10. I'm not making this up. Look at how he describes it in verse 10. I've counted all this as loss, considered as rubbish, compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I've counted all this as rubbish. And then in verse 10, that I may know him, that I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. I mean, this, I've come to know someone now, and this person I know has changed everything about my life. When we come into a relationship with Jesus, we come to a point where we know him. That's what John 17:3 says. Eternal life is to know Jesus. It's knowing him, knowing God, know Jesus, whom he's sent. We get to experience, when you know Jesus, you know what makes him tick. You know what drives him. You start experiencing what kind of person he is, how he treats people, and that changes you. We also get to experience the power of his resurrection, the power that raised him from the dead. And this power becomes our daily experience. So if you want to jot down some references, if you want to look at this more in the Bible, Romans 8 verses 10 and 11 puts it this way. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Like, this resurrection power is going to be yours. Or 2 Corinthians 4 verses 10 and 11. We're always carrying in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. That when we come to know him, man, resurrection power is ours. Or Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. We know what is the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is how God works in us now. The same work that raised Christ from the dead is working in us to raise us from death. Resurrection power is flowing through us. I know, golly, I know it's weird. Like, I know some of you are thinking, like, this sounds like the Force and the Emperor trying to appeal to Luke to join the dark side. Like, you can feel it burning within you or something, you know. No, resurrection power is way more lively than that. It's not just like this kind of life shift. It is, everything about you has changed. Your value system, the way you see the world, the way you act towards others, all of that changes. In other words, resurrection power, when we come to know Christ, we're united to him. We become one with Christ. That's what this verse says here back in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection of the dead. We're united to him. We share in his sufferings by dying to our self-centered lives, by giving up on ourselves, right? And we're willing to face the difficulty and the hardship that comes with the good news so that this salvation can go out to everyone. It compels us out towards other people, just like Jesus was. And we also live in the knowledge of Jesus. We experience his resurrection in our daily lives because not only just here, but we know one day, fully and finally, Jesus' resurrection will ultimately be ours in a perfect way. We'll be raised from the dead. It won't have the final word on us. And I just have a hunch that a lot of us in this room know that. That we're coming here today thinking, yeah, one of these days, man, it's going to be awesome. I'm not going to die. I'm going to have eternal life. Yeah, but what if I told you that that work was already begun? Like, what if the resurrection like started the moment Jesus rose from the dead. And not just like giving us eternal life when we die, but giving us life now, giving us spiritual vitality. So most of us look to the eternal life that Easter has achieved for us, but we easily miss what the resurrection means for us as we live right here, right now. And being united to Jesus changes everything about our lives. As we follow him, his death and resurrection are displayed in us. And we know him, which means we trust him. We're loyal to him because he's got us. So let me see if I can make this stick even more. Man, are there places in your life right now where you feel like I'm dying? Like, what are the pieces of anguish? What are the deaths? What are the hardships? What are the ways that you're sharing in Christ's suffering? And you're just saying, I just can't. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what sin I'm dealing with. You don't know what kind of craziness I'm dealing with in life. Does it look anything like Jesus going to the cross? Does it look anything like him dying? And I'm saying, yes, it does. Yeah, there's all kinds of ways. We're sharers in his sufferings. We're marked by that in this life. We haven't arrived. But what would it look like if Christ resurrected you in each of those situations? What would it look like if his resurrection power in those moments brought you to life? Maybe it enabled you to persevere in a way that you couldn't. Maybe it enabled you to encounter new life that you never would have dreamed of. Maybe it enables you to bloom and blossom in those moments that out of the ashes has sprung this life. This is what we're called to. This is what it means to be united to Christ. And man, I can tell you, every week I go through this in my life in some way, just some sort of anguish, some sort of throwing up my hands like, there's nothing I can do here, Jesus. I got nothing. I need you. Like, there's nothing I can change. There's nothing I could do. It's this pattern of sin again in my life, or this situation that is overwhelming, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do in that moment. And I'm just dying. Like, you could close the tomb. I have nothing to offer. There's nothing I can do in that moment except trust Jesus. And somehow Jesus brings life. Like, he rolls the stone away and says, live, persevere, walk, step. You know me. We got this. Like, I got this because you're with me. We're going to go. And he does this over and over again in my life. So do you trust that Jesus will raise you? I mean, some of you, I know, looking out here, I know you're in impossible situations. I know you're in situations that are absolutely discouraging you. And you're thinking, there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. I don't know what to do. Can you just trust Jesus? Can you look for how he's going to work resurrection in this? How he's going to birth new life out of this? Or are you going to choose to turn on yourself? I mean, that's the options, really. Because I know the objection's like, well, if I do that, then I'll dot, 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 right? So we're back to that religion. We're back to that other way of seeing the world. But what about this? No, you haven't really given up on yourself yet. You're still holding out, like, as long as this thing or this works out my way, then I'll believe in Jesus. And Jesus is saying, die, give up on yourself, give up on that, and trust me. Resurrection power can come. Man, I'll bring life out of that. And I've seen it happen. I mean, it's amazing when it happens. Trust that Jesus will raise you. Trust that his resurrection power will do its transforming work in you. So in conclusion today, we've seen two movements towards Jesus' resurrection power. I think that's what we want. We may not know that we even need it, but I think that's deep down we want that. We want something that, is there something that can sustain me in life and into the next life? And it's Jesus' resurrection power. And Paul's giving us the keys to unlock this here. It comes as we give up on ourselves and we trust that Jesus will raise us. We trust in him. So one aim of the sermon this morning has been to help you get to the new life that's found in Jesus. He offers new life, and he's not just like offering you a benefits package that's out of this world, right? That's how we treat it. Okay, I'll sign this, and yeah, eternal life is mine. Terrific. No, he's inviting us to live now. And so will you give up on yourself? In addition to all the ways you haven't lived to God's standards, if you're honest, you've replaced him with all kinds of ways that you think are better. You're leaning into him saying, I know you have hunches in the Bible, but I really think that my way is better. And oh, by the way, I want your life. And Jesus is saying through Paul, give up. Put that to death. You don't need to rest there. You don't need that other religion. And so today I'm inviting you to give up on that, to give up on yourself, and to trust that Jesus will raise you. The scriptures actually say that. It says to believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead and you will be saved. That's Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. I mean, right at the essence of our faith is this reality. He's offering us life. Are we gonna take it? Or are we gonna persist in saying, well, yeah, as long as you meet my demands, Jesus. No, he's saying die. You're united to me. I sat in a tomb for 3 days. And rose, don't you want that kind of power flowing through you? So the rescue mission of Jesus will take you into his death so that you can experience resurrection with him. So will you trust in him today? And if you're a believer, I mean, can you look back and not see how this is your story? Maybe you've slowly drifted over the years to putting more and more confidence in your way at the expense of Jesus. And that's what I do. I wake up every Monday morning and I have these aspirations like, you know, if this is really gonna work, Jesus, then here's what everybody else needs to do to make my world easier this week. And if you could pull that off, it'd be really awesome that I could experience your resurrection power. And Jesus is saying, child, we're gonna go to death. we're gonna have the opportunity to die again this week so that I can raise, so that I can give life. This is what we're gonna do. So maybe we've forgotten that we're united to him. So a lot of us mope through this world like we're living on Holy Saturday. You're just enjoying the grave, waiting for resurrection. Like one of these days, I'm gonna be raised, but man, I sure wish I could, you know, we're like Eeyore and Pooh, you know. Winnie the Pooh is a character. I'm not talking about something else. No, we're like Eeyore, just kind of, how are you doing? I'm fine. Really, like you have resurrection power flowing through your veins if you're a believer. You know him and the power of his resurrection. I mean, don't you have reason to hope? Jesus Christ, our living hope. So some of you just need to be reminded of that today, that all the hell you're going through, man, you're just united to Jesus and you're right where he wants you to be so that he can bring life through you. So quit trying to fix it all on your own, because that's what we try to do. Well, Jesus got out of the grave, that's pretty impressive, but he needs my help to straighten out these idiots over here, you know. So we drift into anger and whatever else we can build our lives on to try to get our way. And we're not trusting in his resurrection. We're not trusting him. We're not leaning into him. So if you are in Christ, you've experienced resurrection and have resurrection power pumping through your spirit. That's what Ephesians 1 says. That for us who believe, the same power that rose him from the dead is in us right now. So trust him to raise you in those moments. When you are privileged to share with Christ in suffering, trust him to raise you in those moments. Don't get into a fist fight with him and say, but there's no way you intended it to be this way. That's exactly how he intended it to be. Our Savior's a crucified Lord. You're united to him. And he's working resurrection in you. I mean, this is incredible that we get to be in on this. Trust him to raise you in those moments you share in suffering. Look to the new life you have in him. You no longer have to be characterized and walk in shame or guilt or paralyzed living or hopelessness. And man, it's so easy to drift there as a believer, isn't it? I mean, you can turn on the news and just think, ugh, shame and guilt, paralyzed living, hopelessness. And I'm telling you to turn on Christ, to look to him, to trust him, to lean into him and say, yeah, I have no reason to hope. So I'm going to share in your sufferings and trust that you're going to work something amazing through this because I have resurrection power flowing through my veins. You are in Christ if you're a believer, and everything has changed. Everything has changed. So today, let's continue to celebrate his resurrection. Let's glorify and enjoy the fact that we know him, and let's make this known to others.